Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Barnacle Boys, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast. April Fools, it's Stoop Kids. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And this episode was produced by King of the Fools, Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. Emily, Harry, listen to me. The digital world, it's a mess. Life spelled kids with a Z is better than anything they got elsewhere. Production is always cleaner, and Jason's editing sweet. You dream about making content, but something feels incomplete. Just look at the world around you, from your bathroom to your bed. The one person we're all here for has a little football head. Kids with a Z. Kids with a Z. All our listeners are massive winners, I say humbly. We try to discuss with aplomb. I sure do love Lorenzo's mom. We wouldn't trade it. It's a plus graded kids with a Z. Also with us today is a very special returning guest. Please welcome back to the show our final guest of the Hey Arnold series proper and an all-around real one, Dylan Gerber. Dylan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So happy to be back talking cartoons with y'all. So thanks for having me.
Booyah. We wouldn't have it any other way. We're really happy you're here. We are here today to talk about, it's a silly one, April Fool's foreshadowing up top, but it is episode 98 of Hey Arnold. If you're keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 18, going by production code order. This double-length episode of Hey Arnold is called April Fool's Day. Original air date, April 1st, 2002. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold is sick and tired of being the target of everyone's April Fool's jokes, and Helga has targeted Arnold as her practical joke victim for the day. When Helga goes one prank too far, Arnold stages a retaliation and brings in Grandpa's prized practical joke. The joke temporarily blinds Helga, who decides to get back at Arnold for daring to trifle with her by faking blindness and essentially making him her. And Wikipedia uses a word that I don't love here, so I'm going to swap that in with servant, essentially making him her servant. And we've got quite a crew here from the production standpoint. There are four co-directors. So we have Don Judge, whose only other credit for the show from a directing standpoint was Little Pink Book. So a long, long time ago in a show far, far away. Christine Kolosoff, who's a seasoned veteran at this point. And then first-timer Raimi Musguez. Apologies for any mispronunciations. It is their first time directing. So shout-outs to Raimi. And then Tuck Tucker, who we last saw directing during the Parents' Day episode, which, whew. And then the writing credits are a little more straightforward. We have just the show author, Craig Bartlett, followed by Michelle Lamro and Joseph the Purd Man Purdy. So that's a lot. Let's dig into it. Harry, I think we're starting with you. What did you think about April Fool's Day?
Yeah, thanks, Cody. First of all, you've really outdone yourself with Kids with a Z. I knew it was happening because I remembered the chorus like right before you got there, and it was really something. That was a lot, and I think that that's a pretty good way to start out this episode, because I think there's even more to sort of discuss from like a meta logistical point of view, right? Like, I think the story goes that after the Hey Arnold movie, which was originally meant to be for TV, Nickelodeon sort of decided at the last minute that it was going to have a theatrical release. And so to sort of make up for the placement of it, they actually ordered more Hey Arnold episodes. I think it was 2 half-hour episodes, which became April Fool's Day and then The Journal, which are the last two episodes that we're going to discuss on the series. But that means that they are post-movie. They're sort of like post season five. They're after everybody had sort of gone away and come back. They weren't originally slated as part of the season five repertoire, whatever that means, right? Like, I know that that's not necessarily like sacrosanct or whatever, but so all that is to say that I think that something about that, something about the break between season five proper and these episodes, the post movie, the new animation, and then unfortunately, right, compounding all of that is Arnold's new voice actor, who is only here for two episodes. This episode feels like bizarro Hey Arnold to me. I think I mentioned to Cody before watching that, like, it feels like watching an episode of a different television show. Like, it really is kind of in not a totally bad way. I actually like this episode a lot more than I remembered liking it. I think that there's plenty here to latch on to still. Some of the characters are still in character, particularly the supporting cast. I really liked Phoebe in this episode. I really like Stinky. I really like Sid, even though Sid had a new voice actor as well, which was very strange for me. I loved Gerald, of course, but there just had like almost a series reboot energy in this episode. Arnold acts very out of character, in my opinion, despite the fact that we're told what his characterization is in the first act. In a way that kind of makes sense when you consider like that this is supposed to be sort of post-movie character growth. I think Craig Bartlett actually commented on that and said, like, this is a version of Arnold who knows that Helga has a crush on him and that is affecting his behavior toward her in a major way. I think that that's understandable and you can see it, but at the same time, I don't really know that that the episode does a good enough job of telegraphing that within the auspices of the episode itself, which means we're left with this Arnold who feels very out of character, again, compounded by the fact that he suddenly has a very different voice, which, you know, like, it's not the poor kid's fault, but, like, I think in addition to everything else that's going on in this episode, it produces this, like, very strange energy for this episode. It feels like, again, like, they're just sort of fundamentally rethinking the Helga Arnold romance as this sort of like rivalry where they both have feelings for each other and now they're kind of trying to like get one over on each other, which is an interesting like manifestation of this relationship and one that I actually could see being made into like another season, which is, I guess, my sort of stealth belief, sort of maybe unwarranted, but I know that, for instance, Craig Bartlett ended the journal on a cliffhanger because he wanted to make another season and he was kind of daring Nickelodeon to make another season. I wonder if this episode isn't also setting the stage for that. I wonder if like season six of Hey Arnold was going to see a more combative Helga Arnold relationship and sort of transition these characters toward a more mature or at least a more transformed relationship. Instead of that, obviously that didn't happen. We get this episode that kind of feels like dispatches from what might have been, right? Which, you know, like I said, it's better in some ways than I remember it being. It's just very different from what came before, I think, in some ways that really make it feel almost, the word I kept thinking about was uncanny. It just kind of feels like, I don't know. It's kind of like watching, you know, it's like if they tried to make a Hey Arnold reboot these days, right? Where it's just like, oh, so much time has passed that like watching it, it could maybe be good. It would just be its own thing, right? That is not to say that I want to express my opinions pro or con a Hey Arnold reboot at this time. That's a complicated question. But I'm really interested in what you guys thought. How did this strike you all? Did you sort of feel the way I felt that it was uncanny, or did it work out a little bit better for all of you?
That is the eternal question. I think you quoted Shakespeare verbatim, Harry, with that jumping off point. Really well done. Emily, let's toss it to you next. How did you feel about this particular April Fool's Day?
Well, thank you for asking, Cody. I feel really differently about it, I guess, than Harry does. And I also think I've never seen the episode before. So I coming into it like fresh, having just rewatched this whole series for the first time since we've been doing the podcast, and then seeing this as like a new episode to me, I really enjoyed it. I thought it felt really loose. Like I loved how the humor felt. I thought the pacing was great too. And like, because it's the full length, maybe they didn't feel like they had to cram too much in. It just kind of goes along the beat nicely. And we do spend a lot of time, of course, with Arnold and Helga paired up. and that whole situation. But I thought there was a good amount of like grandma and grandpa in the beginning to set it up. Grandpa's just so hilarious. So just that initial like camera work with the camera going back and forth. And then we see grandpa in the most insane prank, pretending that he was axed in the head, covered in blood, and then pulls it off while Arnold's just like eating breakfast. And then he quickly just goes through a bunch of other ridiculous pranks. And we learn that grandma thinks April Fool's Day is Groundhog's Day, and that that means there's 12 more days of Christmas, which grandpa and Arnold say in unison together, like just like a callback to the 4th of July / Thanksgiving episode, or the 4th of July one about, wait, no, the Thanksgiving episode where grandma thinks that Thanksgiving's the 4th of July. Anyway, I just really liked how they set it up, and I thought like the trio of writers that we have here too, with Craig, Michelle, and Joe is like a really stellar grouping for this, and especially like since this was like a return to form years later. So I didn't really know what to expect given that time frame and the fact that Nickelodeon ordered this later after the movie, and even the timeline in the series, it's like supposed to be that Arnold sort of knows Helga has the crush on him by now. And so they play it out even to the end of the episode in that way. Like he's uses that against her. But yeah, definitely the art direction and like the blurred backgrounds and just the way the camera moves around them in more of like a three-dimensional way. It's, while they're still kind of static, but there's like more dimension to the background and camera. I think I agree with Harry that it does feel like it's a different series or something in that way. Like the art direction makes it feel like a totally new reboot or something. It has new life to it. But I just really liked it. I don't know. I loved the beautiful opening shot of Sunset Arms too. And curious to hear what y'all think about it as well. But I thought it was a very fun one, and maybe unexpectedly so because of the whole timeline.
Yeah. No, that definitely makes sense. I feel like we ought to defer to the certified lord of cartoons, Dylan. So we'll kick it to you. How'd you feel about April Fool's Day as we approach, you know, this a lot of like end of series energy, but also like something as the term reboot has been thrown out there. So like, how did all that hit you?
I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I had seen some, you know, later episodes that I didn't love. I thought this was a really great one, especially towards the end, because I thought they were continually go downhill a little bit, but this one surprised me. And I didn't realize it was ordered after the movie. That was really interesting because I did, something did seem off, but I just, you know, was asking myself, is it because it's a double episode, you know, the long format? But it all makes a lot more sense that it came later, because the character, I mean, clearly the voice actors are different in a few cases, but the energy was different. And I know sometimes they break character throughout the series, but it just seemed like so many of the characters broke out of their normal character. And yes, Arnold was a lot more, you know, direct and combative and willing to jump into the April Fool's pranking. But yeah, like Grandpa pranks him and gets one over on him, but to run in with a fake hatchet on his head, or for Wurtz and Simmons to run into the class and tell them all that Simmons had died, like, it just doesn't seem like something Simmons would go along with. And so there were a lot of weird character quirks that caught me off guard, but it makes sense that it was kind of its own separate entity, and maybe they were pointing towards a different dynamic. But yeah, honestly, the thing that got me the most, and at first it was maybe a little upsetting because they're children, but then it really grew on me, just how violent everyone is in this one. Like, you know, like I mentioned, Grandpa coming in with the hatchet, and then saying that the Simmons had died, but also Helga just blatantly hitting Arnold in the head with the cane over and over. I think she hits an old man on the street. Like, it's just like, it's like all the character traits are just amped up. And yeah, at first it felt a little strange, but I ended up loving it. Like by the 10th time Helga hit Arnold in the head with the cane, it was it it was pretty hilarious. So I overall, you know, it's funny because I also expected it being a full length two-parter, for it to be some really deep story, you know, like I feel like in the past they've used that for, I don't know, they touch on World War II or, you know, some heavy topic like that, or they really get deep into Helga's love or something like that. And this seemed a little lighter. I don't know. That just caught me off guard. I assumed it would be deep and very heavy. But it was really just kind of light and full of a lot of violent physical comedy, which I loved. So.
Yeah, no, I think I did too. And I mean, we're talking about the art direction of this episode and its placement within kind of the chronology of the franchise from a production standpoint, or chronologically or what have you. And I think it's hard not to have the knee-jerk reaction of whenever you see the art change in that way, it's like, it's not usually an indicator of like good things to come. Because like when, I mean, the two off the top of my head, like the Simpsons changing up their animation around movie time. And like, they are, I guess for the past couple decades, that show has been in a state that's not nearly as glamorous or glamorized as like the initial, you know, first, even like Lord 10 seasons of that show. And then like SpongeBob as well, like that's gone through many different stages of like evolving art direction. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's just like the crusty, you know, 90s kid in me, but just like, it's not nearly as good as it was. And like, probably coincidentally, I mean, the art directions, you know, all that's different. So it's me coming into this. I think, Emily, I'm pretty sure I'm aligned with you in this word. Is like, I don't have a memory of seeing this in my, you know, my past youthful life. And so seeing it now with fresh eyes, with the bulk of the series kind of at our backs, like having that fresh perspective was super rewarding. And after shrugging off the sort of knee jerk reaction of like, ooh, this looks different, I'm white knuckling through this, hoping that it's not like, that the quality dips from a storytelling standpoint. And it didn't. I think the rebootish nature or like return to roots, sort of setup, you know, like every character is getting lines in this episode, which is super fun. I love it when we hear from everybody. The like grandpa in particular, I think characterizing, Dylan that as like, as this particular story being a little more amped up, a little more violent, having that like Looney Tunes universe logic energy where like you can concuss people and it doesn't amount to anything because like we're drawing more attention to the fact that they are cartoons and like less driving from the logical, natural, physical world. But like grandpa especially is really unhinged in this episode, which is a lot of fun. He like zany grandpa, zanier than maybe, I don't want to escalate it that far and be like, this is the zaniest we've ever seen him, but he just keeps pulling pranks out of his pocket. That feels like a third of the episode is looking at all of grandpa's pranks, which is fair because they're pretty good pranks. But like a lot of that classic Hey Arnold DNA is very visible in this. Helga showing, like the gag of Helga showing up to the dance and really owning her fake, disability and just dressing like Emily Dickinson or something is just it's so silly and like it's nonsensical. It's a nonsensical gag in the way that I've come to really appreciate from this show. And like the nonsense is what makes it so smart. And I don't know, self-referential and all that. But yeah, this is a very different thing. It's where we're with every character. And then it transitions to like a 5-to-8-minute two-hander between Arnold and Helga where they're playing off the bit. And then it becomes something else entirely at the end. But I was pretty here for it. I liked it a whole lot for, I don't know, reasons pertaining to kind of the new things that we've come to expect from the show and the old things as well. So yeah, I was really about this.
I think you guys are kind of winning me over, which I really appreciate. Actually, I especially really love what Dylan said about like you're so right that like you would think a half hour episode, especially like a newly ordered half hour episode, and especially an episode that came out before the movie came out, actually, even though it was created after the movie came out or after the movie was made, in order to sort of like hype up the release. I think this released on April 1st, and then the movie was a summer release in June. You would think that they would really like try to make quote unquote very special episodes. And like, to be fair, the Journal is extremely that. Like, the Journal is very much what you would expect from a very special Hey Arnold season cap. I really love that in contrast to that, they were like, let's just play the hits, you know? And like, that's what this feels like. It feels like they're like, okay, we're going to give every character one last moment in the sun. We're going to have Stinky and Sid have their own inexplicable C plot that doesn't amount to anything. Like, they play with that the entire episode, like Chekhov's Stinky's snapping turtle. And then it really doesn't result in literally anything. I love that. I love Rhonda's constant asides about the fashion. I love that we see Big Patty and Harold dancing. I love the number of callbacks to old episodes. I also love that it's a holiday episode. I think that, like, I kind of overlooked that, but, like, I really love the idea that like, Craig and Co. were like, hey, our holiday episodes have always been bangers. Like, that's kind of something that we really associate with what's great about Hey Arnold. Let's give them one more of those, right? And to Emily's point, I think that it was really astute what you said about pacing. I think this episode, like, really, really makes the case for Arnold as a half-hour TV show in a way that I feel like a lot of half-hour episodes didn't. I'm thinking in particular about how good the scene with the school nurse is, and how, like, we have never had scenes with that kind of room to breathe before, and it's really cool to see just another facet of PS-118 right at the end like that. Similarly, I think, like, the Warts and Simmons stuff, I think some of the, like, secondary character interactions here, none of that would have happened in a 12-minute episode, right? There just could not have possibly been time for it. And I think that, like, giving those scenes a little bit more room to breathe really helps. I think especially when the characters are this established, it's such a joy to see them interact, right? Like, I sort of whined a little bit about Arnold's characterization not being totally on point, but like, when he and Gerald, like, when Gerald comes to him with the Helga's deceit and is like, hey, she's not really blind, and he's like, are you thinking what I think you're thinking? And then he says, that was even better than what I was thinking. It's like, come on, like, that's not such a winner of a line. Like, you can tell that, like, the writers were having so much fun creating this. And I think that even if I do think it sort of dispatches from the Phantom season 6 of Hey Arnold, like, that fun really shines through. That being said, I think I would have appreciated if they had played the hits maybe just a little bit less. Like, for instance, I feel like kind of a Scrooge pointing this out because it's very much like I just did every episode of this for a podcast take. But, like, Michelle Lamoureux wrote Beaned, the episode where Arnold hits Helga with the ball and then he has to, like, take care of her all day. And that's, like, literally the same A-plot as this episode is. And, like, that was a season 5 episode. So it's like, I don't know, like, did we have to return to that well that soon? Like, maybe they were doing it purposefully. I don't know. I think that probably what they actually wanted was to create all of the amazing physical comedy and also all of the amazing puns that Helga got to have. My favorite in particular was when Arnold calls her to ask her to the dance. She says, what would that be like, a blind date? I thought that was absolutely savage. you love to hear it. So yeah, I think a lot of notes on this one, just because, like, but I think especially it's kind of funny because in a way it's really well fashioned for specifically what we're doing right now, right? Which is, like, they had to know that a bunch of big fans of the show would tune in for this episode. They're getting hype about the TV or the upcoming movie, and they're like, let's give them something to, like, remember why they love Hey Arnold. And I think that carries through despite the sort of strange out of character moments and the more mature combative plot line. I think ultimately, like, especially the energy of this episode really hits for me, you know, with, like, all of the pranks and all of the, like, almost like Midsummer Night's Dream, like, just hyper tuned up, like, fever pitch energy of PS-118 is, like, a really good tonal choice, I think. And I think it kind of wins me over a little bit. What do you think about that, Cody?
I think I agree with that. The energy, it felt pretty good in the moment. It's feeling more and more better in retrospect the more we talk about it here. The show playing the hits, I mean, it does that, I think, kind of very obviously on the surface, which I'll spin on that a little bit. But I mean, also the sorts of things, and I feel like this is another one of the kind of episodes that's like, this is a testament to how great of a show this has been up to this point. We've had a handful of those this season, of the just like, hey, the track record of the show up to this point has brought characters like Harold and Patty together so that when we see them in the background doing things, it can be just sort of an unspoken but affirmed detail of this universe that, like, oh yeah, they're together. The types of details that we would maybe like get really mad hype about during season one or even like season four, like Gerald and Phoebe being together, just like dancing together at the dance. That was such a nice little wink,
well stated, just understated, but it's right there. You know, it's good stuff.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, the fact that the show has built on that up to this point, that was, again, the most exciting thing about any episode in season one was whenever we saw the two of them together, because we could go, ooh, but now it's just, you know, that's what it is. Like, we don't have to, you know, belabor on that for too much. You know, the show can have Curly in the background being a certified maniac because we understand the depths of his maniacism. I'm going to roll with that, from previous episodes. And we, like, the class not taking Simmons seriously and very not taking Ward seriously, like just not even reacting to their dumb attempts at pranks. It's like, well, yeah, we've seen various episodes showing the extent to which Ward's can be domineering, but also like a complete buffoon. And so like this scene makes sense in a vacuum. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I like how all that played. And not to like unjustly chalk this episode up to the type of idea that we've definitely talked about before, almost as like a safeguard for ourselves, where we're like, well, you know, this doesn't sit right, but also this episode is probably like, the writers probably just wanted to see these characters in these sorts of environments. Like the first stretch being like kids running the roost and like having a lot of fun with pranks. Like, we probably wanted to see that. We probably wanted to see these kids at a school dance. Because I don't know if we, really have quite had that on the show up to this point, unless I'm brain farting super hard. And like the middle act, you need something to bridge those together. Having, you know, an extended stretch with just Helga and Arnold having scenes together, letting Francesca Marie Smith really riff with this character, like giving her kind of one last, at least as far as the TV show is concerned, like really letting her go for a while with these her puns and everything else, just like really let her cook. Maybe, I don't know, like it is, maybe it could have been something else other than feigning blindness, because it is retreading old ground to a certain extent. But at the same time, it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know if there are necessarily as many unforced errors with this as we've definitely seen in other episodes where the writers are kind of overstretching themselves when they really don't have to. So like that element, I feel like was kind of a safe choice. We're retreading old territory. I don't know. It could have been something different, but I'm content with what that is. And I'm inferring that I'm seeing more and more, this is like, well, what are the last sort of environments that these students haven't been in that we really want to see them in? And you know what? I'm very happy for them for that. I'm glad that they got that. Not April Fools. I'm not April fooling. That's a for real sentiment.
I'm also very happy for Eugene, who I just think is the only character we have not mentioned. We've mentioned pretty much everyone else, but not the King of Fools, who comes in there at the end and wins that award. And then he sort of ends the episode being in that pool of water, of mysterious water where Snappy the Turtle appears.
He also seems to have ascended to some sort of demigod status once he got that crown placed on his head. His eyes get all big and he like speaks with like a dual tone. It's very strange, but I liked it a lot.
Pretty wild. But yeah, I liked also how Dylan pointed out that everyone's super violent, especially the kids, but even just at the very beginning with Grandpa. And I think that's part of what I loved about it, is because of that energy, they have like taken this cartoonish extreme with all of the characters. They all feel a little bit like they're breaking their previous characterizations. And they're just more in a physical humor and fast and loose kind of a setting, which I think makes things really funny, and yeah, just gives like scenes room to breathe and space and everything for each character to have a little moment to shine, even if they don't feel exactly like the same character as we knew them previously. But also maybe they've grown up a little since, you know, we last saw them in the other episodes because of all the years between. And then I also wanted to ask a question, which is what actually happened when Helga opened that box, the grandpa prank box? Did she just pass out or like black out and she thought she was going blind for a second? It seems like she passed out, but it's like, what was that box?
I think it's implied that she was actually blinded for a short period of time, right? That's how I interpreted it anyway. It just so happened that her eyesight came back relatively quickly. But she was, because they do the hilarious thing where she turns around and her pupils are all dilated and everybody's like, oh God, she's not joking around, which I thought was super funny. So that was my interpretation. What did everybody else think?
I assumed it was like an old timey flash bulb that was like, I don't know how flash bulbs work, but I assume there was some mechanism tied to it. I don't know. Just knowing it was grandpa and it was a prank that he had played many years ago, I figured it was some, you know, archaic technology.
Ooh, I love that too. I really love the idea that it's like, it's Arnold was especially concerned because it was like grandpa technology. It was like, well, yeah, but back in the 20s, like kids used to kill each other during pranks all the time. It was just sort of what happened. So he's like, oh no, like, did I hit her with like napalm or something?
I do love, like, later in the episode after Arnold pulls the prank and he's feeling bad and talking to Grandpa. Grandpa's like, well, I told you it would blind her. You know, he's like, he fully expected a child to become, you know, impaired because of this prank. And he was just like, let's do it. So, again, they seem to have much less of a conscience this episode. So. Also, I wanted to call out Eugene in this episode. Finally got his crown. His special abilities of being clumsy were finally praised. And I was, yeah, just happy to see him getting some love. There was one thing that really confused me, though. There was a quick cut scene where he gets his nose in a mousetrap. Once again, really painful, really mean. But I swear he was putting his nose inside of an album sleeve?
That's what it looked like to me as well, like a vinyl record album sleeve.
What led to that? You know, I don't know. I feel like the writers wrote one thing and the animators did another thing, but that was just funny. Hey, I'm going to smell this album.
I think like Scratch and Sniff might have been like written on the album, but it's still a strange thing to like, what a complex sight gag for like a 3-second clip of this show.
Well, now I want to find a Scratch and Sniff record, see if those actually exist.
It's like a John Waters prop or something.
No, not like a John Waters prop. This is Hey Arnold, Harry.
He literally had a movie where you scratch and sniff during the movie.
Listen,
the reference plays, Cody. The reference plays.
If you're a child listening to this, ask your parents before you go online and search keywords John Waters. To answer your question, Emily, I am aligned with Dylan's flashbulb theory, although there's a slim chance that this was a Pulp Fiction situation and that the box contains Marcellus Wallace's soul. Helga opened it up and just like, oh, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then she was blinded in that sense, legitimately blinded by, again, the beauty of whatever was in that suitcase. Marcellus Wallace's soul. The jewels that they stole from the Reservoir Dogs. two years prior, any other sort of number of theories that one could throw out there. But one thing that I did want to put out there, I like that we're kicking around questions. I did have a question that I wanted to ask everybody here, and it's of grave severity that we get deep, insightful responses to this. What were y'all's go-to pranks growing up? Did you get over any good pranks on any of your friends or loved ones? I thought I was a whoopee cushion guy, but really I think I just liked collecting whoopee cushions. I never like really got anybody good with a whoopee cushion, but one that I busted out on the school bus many a time was it was like a stick of gum, but you pull out the gun and it like snaps your fingers, kind of like just you like pull the lever back and it gets you. Who doesn't want gum? I got so many people with that like $1.50 prank. The fart machine, though, that was in this episode that Helga got Arnold with, that gave me a big laugh because A, farts are hilarious, and B, because my family also had a fart machine that we used on our relatives during the holidays. So that is a little bit about my family history. Anybody who can top that? Who are the other prank misers here, Harry?
I don't know if I can top that, but mine seems appropriate seeing as how we've talked a lot about strange physical violence. I've always had the ability to dislocate my shoulder at will. It's pretty creepy, and I can sort of just pop it back into place. So as a kid, I used to do a thing where like I would like fall down or pretend to be injured, and then I would like pop my shoulder out and be like, and like, oh my God, help me. And everybody would be like, oh no, Harry, he's hurt. And then I would pop it back in and I'd just be like, just kidding. So kind of psychotic. Now that I'm thinking about it, not a very nice thing to do to somebody, but that was my big go-to. I would just, you know, sort of use my human body tricks to my advantage, I guess.
Gross, but I'm about it. Dylan, how did you get one over on the people in your life?
You know, I think I had some hand buzzers and things like that. I wasn't a very good prankster as a kid, but my favorite April Fool's prank was pulled on me. And it very much could have fit into this episode because it was just mean. I woke up on April Fool's Day and my brother was at my apartment and he had a fire extinguisher. And I had just woken up and he smiled and said, April Fool's. And he sprayed me down with the fire extinguisher. It, you know, clearly we watched too many cartoons, integrated it into our real life.
Hey, did that suck really bad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was the kind that was like a fine powder. So it ended up getting in all my furniture.
I was going to say,
but you mean it's not just like a whipped cream type substance that you can like eat and lick off your face playfully like they do in the cartoons?
That's what I thought. That's what I was expecting.
Well, that's the problem, right? That's why you said it. It's the perfect example of like watching too many cartoons, because I feel like it's such a normal, like easy gag in cartoons. But in real life, it's like, oh, that's like your entire afternoon is like cleaning that up for like, that's terrible.
Yeah. That furniture was never the same. So. Oh, good. But yeah, so that is pretty funny in retrospect.
Dang. Well, I don't know, Emily, how much furniture have you ruined over the years with your pranks? Or maybe it's like the innocence of people, whatever direction you trended toward as a prankful youngster.
Man, too much furniture to count, I guess. No, I can't remember any prank specifically, but I can just remember like the prank props that would be in stores every year for April Fool's Day or whenever when you're a kid. But yeah, whoopee cushions for sure. We had those as a household, and I really like the fake glasses, nose, and mustache, which is at one point featured in this episode. That's a classic, and that'll never die. So. Can't remember any specific pranks, though, but good props.
Did you guys have this experience in, like, I think it was, like, probably high school for us when phones were first sort of, like, a thing you could actually have in school and around, dating ourselves, I guess, geez. But, kids would do that sound grenade thing where they would play, like, a high-pitched noise on their phone, and it, like, was really good at bouncing off of acoustics, so it was really hard to locate where that noise was coming from. And, like, there was a part of my high school experience where that happened all the time because nobody could figure out who was doing it. And to this day, I'm, like, baffled by it because it's like I had the freaking Joker in my band class or whatever, because it's like, who is that funny for? You know what I mean? It's like, it hurts everybody. It was a legitimately like very annoying noise that was very distracting, but it like not just to the teacher, but like to everyone, including presumably the person who did it. So and that's kind of what a lot of the pranks in this reminded me of. Dylan, you said, it's so funny that like a lot of these pranks are just straight up mean. Like, I love the one where Rhonda just like Curly is just leaning in for a kiss, and then Rhonda just smacks him in the face straight up, and she's like, ha ha, April Fools. It's like, I don't know, like, is just physical battery an April Fool? It's like, put some more thought into your pranks, IMO.
I love that whole scene, though, when we enter the hallway of PS118 and the kids are just destroying each other with different pranks on April Fool's Day. Really funny. But the high-pitched cell phone thing you're talking about was sort of supposed to be a prank on the teacher because they couldn't hear it, but everyone else in the classroom could hear it. So then it was just annoying to every kid in the classroom.
That's the worst.
Teacher would just be like, why is everyone laughing? Sort of a thing.
Oh, that's like anti-class solidarity. You should play pranks on the teacher, IMO, not your fellow students.
Done.
One last thing about this episode is I love how, and I don't know, I feel like this maybe is going to sound patronizing, but I think I legitimately love how quickly it is disarmed without any sort of like climax, right? Like Helga's like, haha, April Fool, Arnold, and then he's like, no, Helga, you are the April Fool, and throws her into the water, and then the episode's just sort of over. It's like everybody just jumps in the pool. It doesn't matter. Nothing is resolved. They don't really talk about anything. It's just like, we did it. Like, episode end. And silly as that is, I did kind of, like, it worked for me in a weird way. And even in sort of a Hey Arnold sense that, like, the stakes don't have to be that high. Like, we can just sort of have fun with this episode and, like, everything's going to be all right. I thought that was really funny. I even thought that, like, they even introduced the snapping turtle as, like, a potential stakes sort of razor just so they could disarm it totally without any sort of repercussions whatsoever, which you know, just funny. I thought it was just a really funny, silly way to end the episode.
Yeah, I loved that there was absolutely no moral. Usually there's some sort of moral buried in there, but like, if you had to extract a moral from this, it would be that, I don't know, if somebody gets one up on you, you get one back on them or something like that.
That it's okay that Arnold participates, because I feel like,
yeah,
there was another episode where Helga was really coming after Arnold, and so he like tried to get back at her and ended up going too far. And then the whole episode was about how, like, actually, like, Arnold has to be Arnold, even when it's hard for him to be Arnold. This one's like a reversal of that, right? It's like, actually, like, it's totally cool if Arnold wants to, like, play pranks back, because, like, it's all in the game, so to speak.
Yeah, he gets to be a kid with the rest of them. He doesn't have to be this repressed middle-aged child like he normally is.
He doesn't have to be, like, this perfect Buddha deity of, like, peace and understanding. Sure.
That's a lot of pressure to be Zen all the time as a child. Also, I wanted to say the snapping turtle, you said it devolved into nothing. It had no point. I think it had one point, and that was the end joke that they thought they were all swimming in toilet water. I think they came up with that joke and they reverse engineered the whole turtle story just for that punchline, which
extremely good.
Yeah. That was my take on
it. Yeah, there was also, like, I just love that incredible shot of the snapping turtle crawling out of the sewer and then just sort of, like, menacingly Godzilla-like walking toward the door that's labeled pool. And it's like, oh, no! I just thought that was so funny that, like, they took the time to, like, animate that sequence just to sort of freak us out and then do nothing with it, really.
Yeah, that was a nice kind of filler, you know, like everyone was talking about with the longer format and the pacing. They had fun little vignettes like that that normally wouldn't show up in an episode. Also, that pool, they have an outdoor pool with diving boards, right, from the synchronized swimming episode. I've never seen this pool under the gym. I know it's a cartoon, but they are going to have so much mold. Those floorboards are going to be so warped. And where did they get the money for a retractable floor gym? It's just, and it doesn't seem worth the money. I mean, you just, anyways, I thought it was ridiculous. I know it was, you know, built for the punchline of dunking them in the pool at the dance, but I thought they took a few too many liberties with the pool being.
They had PS118 renovated since the series the had finished before.
And put in a worse pool than they used to have. They used to have like a really nice pool with high dives and
we got
like
all this
stadium seating.
Tens of millions in box office intake. What do you say we put in a crappy pool, huh? Yeah,
all right. Okay. But two things. First of all, I think probably the synchronized swimming pool, that's a Coach Wittenberg episode. He's generally not affiliated with the school. He's generally affiliated with like the community center or something. So I don't know that that's a PS118 pool. And at one point, and this is really nerdy, so I apologize, but during the episode, Gerald says something to Phoebe while they're dancing about like, like Arnold dancing a blind Helga around the YMCA. Now I've seen everything. So it's also possible that they weren't at the school. I'm just sort of covering the continuity basis here.
Why is that nerdy?
I'm just remembering very specific plot points here.
According to my research that we've been doing on this podcast for the last 2 years.
Yeah, thank you, Cody. It's nerdy because I said it. I didn't really think I would have to make the case for myself as nerdy.
I got him to say it. This is my April Fool's. Sorry, continue.
That makes me less upset with the writers.
All right, good.
You're right about Coach Swedenborg.
Yeah, we brought it all full circle.
Yeah.
We truly did. My last lingering thought about the episode is also about the pool. I asked no questions because at least once a year I revisit It's a Wonderful Life, and I literally wrote in my notes, are they gonna It's a Wonderful Life this dance floor? And spoilers, they absolutely did. So thumbs up from
you
me.
You got it, right?
Glad that happened. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Oh, hey, April Fools, Helga! Push. Extremely good. Any other lingering threads that we didn't get to, shout outs about this episode and or the characters in it before we bow out of this one?
I would like to say shout out to Arnold's hair that's curling over in a way that we've never seen before. Kind of fun. They use different angles with that. Also great suit.
I absolutely loved that they were playing backwards disco music for the kids. Just what a great school.
Yes, the music in general deserves a shout out. In particular, at the lowest moment of the episode when Arnold goes home and he's feeling guilty about blinding Helga, they play like a reprise of Groove Remote. So like they must have known that like that was something that the audience would have wanted to hear again. I think it's probably almost inarguably the most popular song from the series. So like in terms of greatest hits, it was just such a cool shout out that like they went back there and like pulled out that old favorite again. Thought that was really cool. I also really liked the ending song over the credits. I like that they even gave Jim Lang a chance to strut his stuff a little bit here.
Truly. The one element of this mixtape that makes our school dancing is Dylan's presence. I really pulled a hammy on that one. Dylan, thank you so much again for being here with us, chatting about cartoons, chatting about nostalgia, chatting about pranks, everything under the sun. It means a lot to have you here. Where can people find you if you want to be found, that is? And or is there anything that you would like to plug for the fine folks who may be listening?
Oh, sure. I'm just on Instagram at QuiverWingQuack. And just thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk cartoons with y'all.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. As we're ramping up to the end of the Hey Arnold series, we've got a couple more episodes in store for y'all, so please tune in for those. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, hear more about all that stuff, at Stoop Kids Pod, and that is kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mackin. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And thank you, Dylan. I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Well then, giddy up.